Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Yeah, I knew it will be a very strong race here, so I was well prepared, and I thank God I won it today. It was really so fast in the last lap, so I thank God I made it.
That's Kenyan athlete Faith Kipyegon thanking God for her world title in the women's 1500 meters race in London. Faith clocked 4 minutes and 2.59 seconds to add a world championships gold medal to the Olympic gold medal she won last year in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The silver medal in London went to American Jenny Simpson.
You have the Olympic champion, you have world champions, the Diamond League champion, the world record holder. I mean, how could you get a more huge starlit field? And I just can't believe I ran him down.
Right behind Jenny Simpson in the women's 1500 meters final was South Africa's Caster Semenya. Caster gets the bronze medal. Now, Caster will start as the favorite to win her third world title over 800 meters later this week in London. The South African says she enjoyed her world championship experience at the longer distance.
Taking this gamble, it will always be something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life. Winning bronze is fantastic, you know. First, you know, 1-5, you know, in the world stage, and being able to overcome that, it's quite an amazing race. And congratulations to Faith and Jenny. They ran a fantastic race, you know. They moved like rockets. I was like, oh, what's this? But obviously, it's just fantastic, you know, having a great team, you know, surrounding me. I would just like to give credit to them. It has been an amazing journey.
An amazing journey for South Africa's Caster Semenya. And as I mentioned, Caster's amazing journey will continue in London when she competes in the 800 meters, her specialty, later this week. In other results from London, Olympic champion Omar McLeod of Jamaica won his first world title in the men's 110 meters hurdles, clocking 13.04 seconds. The Russian Sergei Shubenkov won the silver, and Balázs Bagyi of Hungary got the bronze. And if you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Omar McLeod raising his arms in triumph after crossing the finish line in London. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Go to that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Reuters photographer Kai Pfaffenbach took the action photo at the Olympic Stadium in the British capital. After winning the gold, Omar McLeod had this to say.
It's an honor. I'm really elated. I'm overcome with emotions. It hasn't really sunk in as yet, but I knew there was a great feel, and I knew in order to win this race, I had to do it the Omar McLeod way, you know, get out, have fun, take control of the race, and dig deep, and especially after what happened to Usain Bolt and Elaine, I really wanted to come out here, and I really wanted to dedicate this victory to Usain Bolt's retirement.
Olympic champion Omar McLeod dedicating his world title in the 110 meters hurdles to fellow Jamaican and retiring superstar Usain Bolt.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not Flash Gordon or anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
Oh,
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth review and discussion on the electoral process and results of the presidential elections in Rwanda and Kenya. Election fever in East Africa. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bamboozip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More results from the World Athletics Championships in London. 21-year-old Yulimar Rojas edged Olympic champion Katerin Ibargin by 2 centimeters in the women's triple jump to give Venezuela its first ever world title in athletics. In a seesaw battle, Rojas finally came out on top of her Colombian rival with a distance of 14.91 meters on her penultimate attempt, beating Ibargin's earlier mark of 14.89 meters. Ibargin was bidding for her third consecutive world title in the women's triple jump, but she gets the silver in London. And the gold goes to Venezuela's Yulimar Rojas. Olga Rypakova of Kazakhstan won the bronze medal. In the women's hammer throw, 2-time Olympic champion Anita Wola-Darczyk of Poland won her third world title with a distance of 77.90 meters. China's Zheng Wang won the silver, and the bronze went to Poland's Malwina Kopron. On Tuesday evening in London, medals will be awarded in 4 men's events: the pole vault, the 3,000 meters steeplechase, the 800 meters, and the 400 meters. The favorite in the 400 meters is the Olympic champion and world record holder from South Africa, Wade Van Niekerk.
Yeah, I'm feeling quite good. I think all my events, actually, I've betted this far, and that's the 100, the 200, and the 300, and then the 400 meters. When you look at entering the European season, I've started off with quite great performances for the year, so I'm definitely in a good space when it comes to producing great performances.
Wade Van Niekerk is also a favorite in the men's 200 meters event in London, in the absence of Olympic champion and world record holder Usain Bolt. Botswana's Isaac Makwala was expected to challenge Wade Van Niekerk in both the 200 meters and 400 meters races. Makwala, though, says he was forced to withdraw from his 200 meter heats after he and several other athletes contracted a stomach virus.
I was not that sick. I just vomited, like any other athlete can vomit. So I vomited when I got on the bus yesterday, when I got my 200 hits. Then the medical saw me, then they asked me whether I'm okay. I said, I'm not okay. Then they took me to the medical room. Then they put me there, some doctor said he's still looking for his medical team. Then I waited about 30 minutes. There was nothing. Then I went out. I just go to do my warm-up for the 200. But after the warm-up, I want to go to the core room. I think they reported to the IAAF that I'm sick, but without any test or without any, they just suggest that I was sick. because they saw me vomiting. But I told them I'm okay.
While Isaac Makwala says he's okay, the International Association of Athletics Federations, the governing body organizing the World Championships, thinks otherwise. The IAAF has also withdrawn Isaac Makwala from Tuesday evening's 400-meter final. The IAAF says the decision was made on the instruction of the IAAF medical delegate.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. I'm looking forward to your next Top 20 Countdown. You heard it right here, Voice of America listeners. Ray has been counting them down for 30 years. The sunny side of sports remembers Australia's golden girl, Betty Cuthbert, who died Sunday in Perth. She was 79. As an 18-year-old sprinter, Betty Cuthbert earned acclaim by winning three gold medals at the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, Australia. She won Olympic titles in the 100 meters and 200 meters, as well as the 4x100-meter team relay. But Betty Cuthbert drew even greater admiration from Australians later in life when multiple sclerosis robbed her of the ability to run. Betty was diagnosed with the degenerative neurological disease in 1969, 5 years after she won her fourth and final Olympic gold medal at the 1964 Tokyo Games in Japan. Beyond her athletic honors, Betty Cuthbert was widely recognized for her fundraising and other work on behalf of people suffering from multiple sclerosis. She spent much of the later part of her life confined to a wheelchair, but Betty never complained about her disease. In an interview with Australia's Morning Herald newspaper, Cuthbert said, and I quote, "God gave me multiple sclerosis for a reason. He wanted me to use this to help other people." Rest in peace, Betty Cuthbert, Australia's golden girl.
Thank you.
In cycling news, two-time Tour de France champion Alberto Contador says he'll retire next month after riding in the Spanish Vuelta. The 34-year-old Contador, nicknamed El Pistolero. I love that nickname, El Pistolero. Well, Contador is from Madrid, Spain. He announced his retirement plans on a video posted on Instagram. The Spanish star says the Vuelta will be his last race as a professional cyclist. And speaking of Instagram, joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
I mentioned Alberto Contador using Instagram. I understand an athlete from Botswana, who I just talked about earlier, Andrew, using Facebook regarding the World Championships.
Indeed. Isaac Makwala talking about that illness that he's suffering from, that a few dozen athletes and support staff is suffering from there at the IAAF World Championships in London. Makwala took to Facebook and said that he had bad news to report, that he wasn't starting the 200 because of the illness, suffering from food poisoning, trying to see if he would get to run in the 400, but apparently that is not to be the case either. And it's just really disappointing for fans not to get to see him run, not to get to see some athletes compete because of the illness. But well wishes pouring in from fans. And that's what we see a lot of on social media, is the fans able to connect with these athletes and offer their support to them. So we saw a lot of comments on his Facebook page, hoping that he gets better, that he recovers from this, and that it's not something that keeps him out of the competition for a long period of time. But, you know, one of those fluke things that has happened at the IAAF World Championships, who would have thought? We've seen this before happen in Olympics and other international competitions where athletes will get sick. When they're in close proximity to each other, it gets a lot easier for that kind of stuff to move around. Or if they're eating the same kind of foods or drinking the same water, whatever the case may be, unfortunately, this can happen. And that's indeed what happened in London.
In fact, Andrew, as I reminisce a bit at the 1999 World Athletics Championships, which were held in Seville, Spain, I got as sick as I've ever been at a media hotel right there in Seville, along with about half of the other reporters and journalists who were covering it. And apparently it was just a like an egg dish, but because of a certain bacteria, we all got sick from it. So like you said, this can happen when athletes and officials are in close proximity to each other.
Yeah, and it's, again, one of those fluke things. Always good to try to stay healthy, but as hard as you can train and as much as you can work to get to that point, sometimes there are things out of your control that happen.
Well, Isaac Makwala, we hope you can bounce back from this setback. We wish him good health and all the athletes in London competing at the World Championships. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, there's been word of a rally that's going to happen later this month for former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. And we received word about this actually from none other than director Spike Lee tweeting out about this, that this rally will be held at the National Football League headquarters on August 23rd. For Colin Kaepernick. Of course, Colin Kaepernick is the former quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers of the National Football League, who was released by the team and was known for his kneeling during the national anthem to protest police violence against African Americans. It was something that got covered quite a lot in the U.S. media, something that we've talked about on the show. And many people saying that Kaepernick's inability to get another job, another quarterback job in the National Football League, stems from these protests. They say that it's because of those protests that no team wants to take him on and attract all that media attention. So they're holding this rally in support of Colin Kaepernick. Whether that will lead to any team picking him up remains to be seen, but this is what social media is talking about now. It goes back and forth between kind of the two sides. Some say that he's being punished for expressing himself others saying that he's causing a distraction, he should be focusing on football. So there is that back and forth that we see on social media. But we'll have to keep on this rally when it happens in about 2 weeks as the build-up to that rally continues. And then once it actually occurs at the National Football League headquarters there in New York City, we'll have to continue and follow that.
And National Football League teams are now in training camps, getting ready for the upcoming season. So it'll be interesting, Andrew, to see whether an NFL team will maybe pick up Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, and it may not happen even at the beginning of the season. It could happen maybe later on if a quarterback gets injured, if they need a backup quarterback for a team, they could potentially bring him on. It remains to be seen whether that'll actually happen. There was one report I read on social media that a rumor that Colin Kaepernick actually had received an offer but turned it down because he wanted to play up some of this media hype. Whether that's true or not is unclear, but certainly there is a lot of hype around him still, and there's going to be a lot of activity in about 2 weeks in New York at that rally.
What else is trending in the sports world on this Tuesday, Andrew?
Well, Sonny, we have a big anniversary to celebrate today. It was August 8th, 1992. That a little team known as the Dream Team went on to win gold at the Olympics. Today is the 25th anniversary of the Dream Team winning gold in basketball. Quite a momentous occasion. One of the best teams in Olympic basketball history. One of the best teams in basketball history, some say, put together with these American players. But lots of fans celebrating that, saying that that was the team that they grew up watching in the Olympics, the team that dominated around the world. Some saying it's the greatest team ever assembled in basketball, period. Mm. So a lot of praise, even 25 years later, looking back at that momentous achievement on the world stage.
Let's maybe look back on a few of those players. Michael Jordan, of course, a member of the Dream Team. Larry Bird. I think most of those players are now in the Hall of Fame, Andrew.
And not just in the Hall of Fame. They're the marquee players in the Hall of Fame. These are the players that everybody had the posters up on their, you know, bedroom walls. These are the players that if you had to name off the top of your head, name five of the greatest NBA players ever, you would name a lot of these guys. So really just momentous stuff. And fans, like I said, on social media, just talking about how great that team was and wondering if we'll ever see anything like it again. Even comparing to the players today, they said the players today pale in comparison to that Dream Team back in 1992.
Mm. Well, let's dream a little more, Andrew. What else is trending out there?
Well, the final story we have today is a lesson in social media and sports. Of course, we talk about social media being a great way for athletes to interact with fans and for fans to get word out to athletes, show their support for them. Well, there's a Little League softball team in Atlee, Virginia, which is about 170 kilometers south of Washington, D.C., that was going to the final of the Junior League Softball World Series. And they decided to put up a Snapchat, or at least six of these players did, where they were referencing the team that they hoped to beat in the final, and they gave a gesture that, a rude gesture, with one finger in particular in the Snapchat post directed at their opponents. Well, this Snapchat post was discovered, and the team was subsequently disqualified from playing in the championship because of that gesture. This kicked off a debate online. Should the team have been disqualified? Some said they should be punished for unsportsmanlike conduct, and this was clearly very unsportsmanlike. Others saying that, no, they were the best team, and whatever they did off the field shouldn't impact what they do on the field. Find another way to punish them, but don't disqualify them from the final. But this speaks, as we've talked about before, to the perils of social media, how behavior off the field can have an impact on the field, and that's certainly, unfortunately, the case for the Atlee Little League softball team in Virginia.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Homemade bombs, known as improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, are used by terrorists not only to attack opposition military forces, but also, increasingly, to harm civilian populations. As a world leader in clearing explosive hazards that threaten civilians, the United States is taking action to tackle these deadly devices in Iraq, Syria, Colombia, Afghanistan, and elsewhere around the world. According to the Landmine Monitor, an annual report by a non-governmental organization, person-activated IEDs and improvised landmines caused 1,075 casualties in 2014 and 1,331 casualties in 2015. IEDs are a particular threat to both military personnel and civilians as they enter areas previously occupied by terrorists. For example, during the final months of the battle for Mosul, ISIS sowed the city streets with IEDs to prevent civilians from leaving. Later, as they retreated from the city, the terrorists set thousands of IEDs around critical infrastructure like power and water utilities, schools, and hospitals. Non-state armed groups such as ISIS and the Taliban often use IEDs to destabilize peace operations and terrorize civilian populations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, writes Stephanie Pico, a public diplomacy officer at the U.S. Department of State. ISIS also has deliberately placed IEDs before retreating from an area with the intent of prolonging insecurity, inflicting additional casualties on communities struggling to recover, and delaying economic redevelopment in liberated communities long after direct ISIS-instigated hostilities in those areas cease. The United States is the world leader in conventional weapons destruction, including humanitarian demining, having invested over $2.8 billion in projects in more than 100 countries since 1993. In addition to humanitarian demining, the United States' counter-IED efforts work to disrupt networks that use IEDs and train the forces fighting those networks to identify IEDs and protect against them. Counter-IED differs from humanitarian demining in that it focuses on deterring, detecting, and preventing IED employment before threats become imminent, writes Stephanie Pico. Working with our allies in the international community, she writes, the United States will continue to develop strategies to address the IED threat to prevent IED users from carrying out their nefarious plans and achieve peace and security.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lenor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth review and discussion on the electoral process and results of the presidential elections in Rwanda and Kenya. Election fever in East Africa. On the next, Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.